just out of the blue, the Lord reminded me of something that he said to me a while back now, and it was just simply this, and I say this because, and I'll explain why I'm saying it, and it was in a situation, and the Lord said to me, stay low, just like that, stay low. And I've learned as I've got older that when you're in the midst of, you know, whatever situation, there are times when, you know, you just stay low and you stay humble. Amen. And I remembered this verse, and I'm saying this because I felt it so strong in my spirit this morning to say it. And maybe you're here or somebody is here this morning and you're in a situation where there's just a lot of pride around you, or there's a lot of people who are rising up and you feel like people are rising up against you, maybe at work or, you know, just, I don't know. I really have no clue. All I know is the Lord said, go and encourage that person. Stay low. Stay humble. There's something really holy about humility. And in Exodus 14:14 in the Amplified Bible, so if this is for you, then be encouraged this morning that God loves you and he's speaking to you this morning. It says, the Lord will fight for you while you only need to keep silent and remain calm. Other versions say, stand still. I like this because in a mouthy world, what a mouthy world we live in. Like, if you want an opinion, you can find it anywhere on the internet and social media. And at times when the Lord said to me, stay low, I've switched off social media because I don't need wrong voices in my life. So maybe if this is for you this morning, it's just saying, stay low, just stay calm and be quiet. Be quiet. The Lord said that to me many times. Just be quiet. There is power in being silent. Just be quiet and let the Lord do this thing for you. Amen.
If that was for you, be sure to receive that. There's such power in it. You know, for a long time ago, we were drawn to being around people who know how to worship. Not just sing songs, not just make a noise, not just provide a performance, but to worship. And when you do that, it's amazing how his presence just fills the space. And where he is, he can do anything. Anybody believe in miracles this morning? That's good. You believe in miracles? I tell you, it's best you believe in miracles because someday you may need one. So it's good to get on board with miracles and understand that he is the God of miracles. Well, we started looking at the book of Ephesians a few weeks ago before Easter, and then Easter came, and then we skipped, got to chapter 5, and we didn't get to chapter 6 because Easter comes. Just want to look at bring a few things out of chapter 6. There's so much in any chapter, any books of the Bible you read. There's so much in any verses you read. Just want to pull a couple of things out this morning that I think will help us in the days which we live. Remember that when Paul wrote these letters, he was writing many of them from a place of prison. And he was writing them to churches for a number of reasons. So there was a reason that he writes things to churches. There's a reason that he's writing things to believers. And so it's important that when he is writing something to the church, that the church grabs it, gets hold of it, gets an understanding of it. He's writing, of course, 2,000 years earlier than we live today, so things were a little bit different, and there's some things that are a little different, but not a whole lot different. And so when we bring that into perspective, the same letter is as applicable to us today as it was then. That's what I'm trying to say. Just because so people say, well, different culture, different this and different that. You know, he didn't understand what I'm going through. He didn't have social media. But he had a whole lot of other things. He also had the same God. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I just want to bring a couple of things out of the book of Ephesians. It's not a long verse chapter to read. And we'll probably just read all of it at some point. But when I look at it as a key, is there a key scripture in there? The one I like to just emphasize is just for a moment, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. He says, finally, you know, Paul writes a lot of finallys. Often you find that Paul will write a finally, and then he'll say something, and then that'll lead to something else, so he'll write another finally. I guess preachers are a little bit like that. And anyone who loves Jesus and starts talking about the things of God will find that, you know, one thing will lead to another, and then maybe you have to clarify something. And so Paul writes in verse 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If there's one thing you want to pull out of that, and one thing you want to grasp is be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so Paul is bringing this letter to an end, to a conclusion. And so this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, comes at the end of this letter, a letter which Paul has carefully established our place in Jesus, who we are in Christ. So he's establishing things in writing what he's written. We've been looking at those things over the last few weeks. He's established our place in Jesus, and he's been talking about the basics of our Christian walk. See, sometimes we don't fully understand who we are in Christ, the position, the relationship we have, what that means to us, how powerful that is, and then how we walk that out. And so this is the last section dealing, if you like, with that walk. And so Paul, when he writes finally, he's saying it means that it's like speaking in the light of what you've already understood. Or in the light of what God has done for you, in the light of your standing in Christ as a child of God, in light of the great plan that God has for the ages that he is part of and we are part of, in the light of the plan of our Christian, like, if maturity and our growth that he has given to us, in the light of the conduct God calls every believer to live, in light of the infilling of the Holy Spirit in us and our walk in the Spirit, in light of all this, there's a battle to fight in the Christian life. You know, sometimes that battle seems more ferocious at times. Sometimes, you know, there's a whole lot of conflict going on. You really recognize that, yeah, I'm in a spiritual battle. Other times you can be sort of floating through life and not really realize that you're in a spiritual battle. You're just going through life. And so in light of all those things which he's taught us, in light of all those things which he has spoken to the church about, which he is speaking to us about, which he wants us to get hold of and to be a part of and to be part of our life and have an understanding of, recognize too there's a battle to fight in the Christian life that we have. You talk about the fight of faith. So let's just read from the first verse just to get it all in, so we can say we looked at the whole book of Ephesians from all the chapters. And first verse 1 starts off, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. See, honoring father and mother, it's, have you got a parent? Anybody got a parent? They may not be alive yet, but you've got a parent. Your father and your mother. It's honor your father and your mother. That is so important. And many times, you know, you can say, well, that is just about an earthly thing, but honoring father and mother, I believe, is as much a duty to God as it is to man. It's the first commandment we have, or the only commandment that we have that has a promise that you may live long on the earth. And he talks about children obeying your parents. You don't have to train a child to be disobedient, do you? You know, he is deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. You know, from a man's youth, from the very beginning, you know, they're born with that inherent desire to do wrong. Amen. And why is that? Because of the fall of Adam. So you don't train children to be disobedient, but you do have to teach them to obey without provoking them to wrath. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincere heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, doing service to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or a free. And you masters, do the same thing to them, given up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. So it's just about decent living and honest living in the place in which we live. He's talked there about slave and free and those sort of things, but so it's a little different in the culture in which they were living. But you know, it's about living right. Decent, honest living, doing right by people. See, sometimes Christians don't look a lot different in the way they live, in the way we live, to the world. Do right by people. And then he comes to this recognition that we are in this spiritual battle. And so this is where he brings in this finally. So you could say, well, maybe that last paragraph could have been part of the previous chapter, but he says in the first sentence, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. The devil's out to get you in one way or another. And so Paul is saying here, put on the whole armor of God. And you've probably heard many teachings and many examples, and from very, very being very young to being older, of the armor of God. I guess Paul is in, remember, he's writing from a place of prison. And he's writing, he's seeing these Roman soldiers in their armor, and there's an example. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So there again, then he says again in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Come on, the body of Christ, believers, Christians, you and I, we need to be able to stand. In who we are, stand for the promises of God, stand for righteousness, stand for our position. See, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so Paul says there, he says, it's a bit like David when he was under pressure, where he said in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, he strengthened himself in his God. Sometimes we go all sorts of ways, we do all sorts of things. You know, when we got something going on in our life, if you're that person that, or those people that Suzanne was speaking about just now, laid on her heart, you need to be able to strengthen yourself in your God. And all else is everything else is all over the place. You know, so often we go here and we go there. Come on, David, in that situation that he was in 1 Samuel chapter 30, he's just like he stepped back, took a breath, and strengthened himself in his God. Now, there are various ways you do that. You can do that. You may have different ways of doing that. But there are times when we have to come on, step back, look at a situation. There's something going on around us. We got every wind is blowing around us. All torment is happening. Everything's going on around us. You feel like you're in chaos. Strengthen yourself in your God. And maybe Paul was thinking of that when he was able to say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember, we don't fight battles on our own. If we do, we're not going to win them, win very many. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember, it's his might. See, that there is no point in putting armor on if you're not strong. You hear what I'm saying? You know, if you're just weak in if you're weak naturally, see, Nico's here. He's in the armed forces. You know, if he was a little wincy little person, you know, and he's given the armor that the military give him, it's not going to do him any good. If you're going to wear armor, if you're going to be able to carry the weight of the armor and use the armor to its full potential, you've got to be strong. You've got to know who you are. You got to be fit. You got to know who you are, and you got to know whose you are. See, there's no point in putting armor on if you're not strong. And don't forget whose armor it is. What do we know? The armor of God. It's his armor. And he's given it to us. He's made it available to us for a purpose. See, every Christian is positionally strong. We know that because we've been looking at Ephesians. We know that about because of our position in Christ, who we are in Christ, where we are positionally as a believer. Every Christian is positionally strong, but though through the way we live our life, many times that strength can be leached out through compromise. And that is often because we haven't strengthened ourselves in our God. We haven't stood in that position of, you know, being in that place where we are, we're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And so in able to be a people who are able to put the armor on and for it to be effective for us, we've got to be able to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Strengthen myself in my God. If we were just a little weak individual with no strength in us, we put the armor on, we just crumble through its weight, through its capacity of what it's able to do. It would just be too much for us. But we've got to be a people who are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And when we're strong in the Lord and the power of his might, he says, come on now, put on the armor. His armor. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Not just a little bit. Sometimes people will think, well, I've got this and I've got that. I'm okay in this area. I'm okay in that area. Just put on the whole armor. Every little bit of it. Every bit that he's made available to us. And Paul, I guess, is looking at a Roman soldier and he's thinking, this is going to do this and this is going to do this. You see, and there's a reason for us to put on the armor. And God asks us to do something. There's a reason for it. When you're raising children and you ask them to do something and they think it's a bit, you know, what do I want to do this for? Why do I need to do that? But there's a reason. You may not have to necessarily have to explain every little bit of the reason, but there's a reason you're asking them to do something because you see a bigger picture. There's a reason. There's a reason. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. See, Paul didn't call a Christian to enter into spiritual warfare. He's just announcing it's a fact. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we do wrestle against principalities and powers. See, you are in a spiritual battle. The moment you got saved, we're in a spiritual battle. There's this fight that is going on. And church, we have to be prepared for it. We have to be strengthened for it. We have to be equipped for it. And it's all available to us. So often we don't reach out for it and we don't apply it to our life. So we do wrestle against principalities. I am in a spiritual battle. If I'm ignorant of it, if you're ignorant of it, or if you ignore that, you're probably not winning the battle. There's areas in your life where you're struggling. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The fact that our real battle is not against flesh and blood is forgotten by many Christians. And we put our direction, we put our energy into flesh and blood. Having my say, hearing my opinion, being right. Paul's idea here is similar to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 through 4. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. But oftentimes we do, don't we? Haven't you warred, fight according to the flesh? We often talk, well, I just got all fleshy in it. I'm all fleshy about that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Bring up the next verse, of verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity. How many of you do that? Come on, how many of you bring every thought into captivity? Before you shout your mouth off, before you press send, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, that's why we need to know who we are, whose we are. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of those strongholds. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down arguments. Bringing thoughts into captivity in the obedience of Christ. Can't just step back. That's why sometimes we have to just step back. And in that time of quiet, in that time of being silent, you can do a lot, still do a lot with your thoughts. Hear what I'm saying? Pulling down the strongholds. So it's important that we are able to discern these things. Over the years, I've been a Christian quite a long time, been around other Christians quite a long time, and I've noticed how many Christians, they really struggle and lack discernment. Taking that time to bring thoughts into captivity, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to them and allowing the Holy Spirit to direct, and then just engaging in spiritual discernment. Principalities against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So Paul uses a variety of terms there to refer to our spiritual enemies. And we should maybe think of them as being coming from different levels and of many different ranks. Yet they all have one purpose. To knock down the Christian from our place of standing. So Paul says that you may stand. That you're able to keep standing. The enemy wants you floundering. The enemy wants you groveling on the floor. The enemy wants you keep falling and tripping over and keep having to, being pulled back up again and being in that place of falling God wants you standing. The devil doesn't want you to stand because he knows when you're standing, you're in a place of power. And when you're standing, you're in a place of victory. When you're standing, you recognize you're in that place of authority. He doesn't want you standing. He wants you continually floundering. He wants you continually, you know, trying to fight things with your natural ability. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I guess, see, at the end of the day, it's completely irrelevant if the particular opponent we face is a principality, a power, a rule of darkness of this age. But see, collectively, together, they're all members of spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. They're all part of a spiritual army that is organized and established and ranks in ranks and under the headship of Satan to come against us. Many times we see these principalities and powers referred to in other parts of the world. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30 tells us that the principalities cannot keep us from God's love. Therefore, there's a limit to their power. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. Do you believe that? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. Ephesians 1 and verse 20 through 21 tells us that Jesus is enthroned in heaven, far above all principality and powers. Colossians 1 verse 16 tells us that Jesus created principalities and powers. Colossians 2:10 tells us that Jesus is head over all principalities and powers. Therefore, Jesus is not the Jesus is head over them. He's not the opposite of Satan or principalities. Ephesians 3:10-11 says, tells us that the church makes known the wisdom of God to principalities and powers. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known by the church to principalities and powers. We have a role, we have a position, we have a place. That's why God is looking and needs the body of Christ to know who they are in him and to be strong in the power of his might. And when we're strong in the power of his might, when we know who we are, when we recognize it's his strength, we start applying this armor to our lives. So as Paul says, recognize these things and therefore put on the armor of God. Verse 13 says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. You know, God wants us to be a people who when we sign out, if you like, of this our life on earth, we're able to say, I'm still standing. You'll go through battles. You'll go through challenges. You'll have to go through things when the enemy will come against you. The Bible says the enemy will come in like a flood. You'll have all sorts of things. How many people have had challenges in your life that could have taken you out, could have knocked you down? They could be, you know, relationship. They could be physical. They could be financial. They could be areas of your health. They could be areas in your business life and in whatever, but things that could take you out. Storms come, don't they? But when we know who we are, when we know whose we are, and we know we've strengthened ourselves in our God, when we've got ourselves in this position that, you know, we read right from the very beginning there, you know, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You apply the armor of God to your life and you're able to come out and you're able to come through things. You feel a bit shell-shocked. You feel a bit battered. You feel a bit, you know, like you've been through an English phrase, through a hedge backwards. I don't know whether that's something I use phrases that may not equate to some of the things you're familiar with. But, you know, we just come out of something and we're just all disheveled and feel sore and feel bruised. But we sort of stagger up and we get on back up on our feet again and we just take a deep breath and I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm standing. I've got a testimony. I've won this, but I've come through and I've demonstrated I'm a winner. I'm a fighter and I've come through. And you come through with a testimony. We've got something to share. We've got something that is going to be helpful to somebody else. Because if he can do it, he can say, well, if he can do it in me, he can do it in you. You know, you need to get around. If you've got things going on in your life, you need to go get around people who've been through a few battles. Not just people who've got the academic, not academic, it's not the right word, but the head knowledge or the ideas, or they've seen the YouTube video, or they want, you know. You're trying to fix something on your car or something like that, fix something in your house. You look at the instructions in the manual and they just mean a load of jumbo. Or you get a YouTube video and you see something and he misses a bit because it's not quite the same as you've got. But you find somebody who's done that same thing, who's been through that same experience, who's fitted that part, who's done that repair, and they're able to show you exactly how they can. They say, yes, let's go there. Says, recognize and put on the armor of God. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts and the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so Paul lists these things, which, as I say, I guess he's looking at the Roman soldiers and seeing this armor which they wear and how it all, the place it has in their protecting them in the times of conflict and in times of battle. So stand therefore, get up, and gird your waist with truth. Put on this belt of truth. Put on this thing. You know, stand there. You know, go for truth. I like looking at the areas in the Bible where it takes facts and then it takes truth. Truth always wins. Truth always wins. You know, when you're in a situation, you think, you know, how many of you have been in situations where you think, well, you'd never do this, but you may just sort of bend the truth a little bit to manipulate something. No, none of you ever done that. You're Christians with a capital C. but you know that when you, okay, well, let's just be truthful. Let's just be truthful. Just say it how it is. Let's get it out in the open. Just be truthful. Doesn't that always win? Doesn't that always win? Gird your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Church, we stand. We stand in his righteousness. Just come on, just apply that to yourself. I am righteous before God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. The victory's been won. I am righteous before God. Come on, stand in that place. You know, I've seen people preach this and get great shields up and breastplates and helmets and all this sort of stuff and swords and stand on a platform looking like a total soldier. Having shod your feet with the preparation of gospel, the gospel of peace. You're not going to be able to stand very well if you haven't got good feet. Are you? You're not going to be able to fight very much if you haven't got good feet. If your feet aren't any good. You see, it is so important. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shod of shoes that Paul would have seen these Roman soldiers putting on their feet would have been, you know, the state of the art for the day. That would have enabled them to be, you know, mobilized really quickly and fulfill the purpose that they were for. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. Haven't you had a few fiery darts come at you? Come on, you know, you're all such passive, you know, Come on, you've had some fiery darts thrown at you. They come every which way. You know, you can't. You've got to be a person that is who has some faith. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to him must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's got to be a people of faith who recognize that we are people of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of those things not yet seen. For with it, for by it, for through it, those men and women who've gone before us were able to come through and fight. You know, come on, let's be a people of faith. Let's be a people of faith. You know, because the wicked one is out to get darts at you. Take the helmet of salvation. Aren't you glad of your salvation? What does the helmet do? It protects the head. It protects the mind. It protects the thinking. It's there to protect us. You know who you are. Know what took place when you received your salvation. It's so powerful. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Come on, church, we need to be equipped with the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God, read the Word of God, believe the Word of God, trust the Word of God, have it as forefront in our life. Not just know what is in it. There's a lot of people who know, you know, what's in the Word of God. A lot of academics, a lot of theologians know what's in the Word of God. But is it a reality too? The Word of God, what is it? It's Spirit, it's life. The sword of the Spirit. Remember when I was in Sunday school, I used to go to a thing where we'd do sword drill. Because the Bible, the Word of God, was recognized as being the sword. You have your Bible under your arm, and all the children would be sitting around the room, and Mrs. Green, she'd give a scripture, just a reference. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, she'd find one a bit more obscure than that, because everybody might wouldn't have a good cheat on that one. You have obscure scripture, and you have your Bible in a sheath, in under your arm. And then she'd say, draw your swords. And all these children, you know. And Bible, real Bibles, not iPhones, nothing like that, you know. Real Bibles, you know. You know, imitation leather bound. And then she'd say, charge. And as soon as she said, charge, every child would just... You had to know where to find something in the Bible. And you'd all be sitting down. And as soon as the first person to find the scripture, and jump up and have to read it. That's why it's always good to be able to recite or to know where to find scripture in the Bible. Amen. See, a lot of people today, there might be one or two here, I doubt it, who don't know the books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. I know you can all find that quickly. You don't need to go to Google search. Come on, apply the armor of God to our lives, church. We could spend a lot of time in this, but it's important that we are a people who know what is available to us. Know the Word of God. That's why Paul is saying all that we've looked at in the previous chapters, that they weren't chapters in the sense that when he wrote to them, all that I've already said to you, all that we've discussed, all that we've been through, all that I've taught you in this book of Ephesians, in this letter that I'm writing to you, you know, finally now you're going to have to apply this to your life. Recognize who you are in light of all that. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, his might. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil one, and having done all, stand. Tell you, because of social media and the way news gets around and things that come up on your phones these days, right across the Christian church, there are people who I am surprised are not standing. Having done all, it's like something has happened. Something has there's something that they haven't applied that has caused them. Maybe they haven't put the helmet of salvation. Maybe there's some area where their feet weren't shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Something has come up and something has been revealed that they're not standing. Church, that is terrible. People that have been looked up to. Not standing. And yet there's people who've been so insignificant and not made a big song and dance about too much, but just standing before God. Standing before God. Staying quiet. You know, not just, you know, all over the place, not this and not that. Just staying still, standing quiet, not saying it, and just bringing every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ. Recognizing they're in a spiritual battle. The moment, church, we got saved, we are in the spiritual battle. The devil hated it when you said yes to Jesus. He hated it. There's none of this, you know, I'm in a spiritual battle right now. You're always in a spiritual battle. It's just part of the, it goes with the territory. So having, therefore, verse 13, having take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil one in the day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having done, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you're able to quench the fear of fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he says, verse 18, praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, of which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul brings attention a little bit to himself. But church is so important. Praying always. Praying always. On the end of this letter, on the end of this which he is speaking to them about, how, you know, he's speaking to them about these things. I said it right from the beginning. In light of all this, all that has been written, in light of all that God has done for you, in light of the glorious standing of which you have as a child of God, in light of the great plan of the ages that God has made us a part of, in light of the plan for a Christian maturity and growth he has given you, in light of the conduct God calls every believer to live, in light of the filling of the Spirit and the walking of the Spirit, in the light of all this, is a battle to fight in the Christian life. And church, and so right at the end of the letter, he says, right, you know, keep praying. Keep praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. You know, sometimes prayer is one of the things which is of least importance on our list of priorities in our walk with God. And there's so much can take place without us having to pray. And I guess you, each and every one of us have situations where, well, that seems to be okay. Oh, I forgot to pray about that, but everything worked out okay anyway. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that the utterance may be given to me. It's praying, pray for the evangelist, pray for the pastor, pray for the apostle, pray for those who are bringing the word of God. How many of you want to be standing? Not just limp into them. But standing. Having done all, stand. I see a group of people who have such potential, who God has a heart for, who God wants standing. Who God wants to be a witness to those around him. Who people look to and say, how do you manage to stand in adversity? How do you manage to stand with what you're going through? How do you manage to come through the other side of that torment and come through the other side of that challenge, come through the other side of that storm that could so easily have taken you out? But you're standing. That we're standing personally. That we're standing as our families. That we come through and we're still standing in our marriages. We're still standing in our integrity. We're a people who, having done all, stand. We're not one of these that has been listed and is having podcasts made about us, documentaries, books written, television series made, or whatever, because we didn't stand. Isn't that awful? That documentaries, that things get written, things get wrote, and things get said about people who are not standing for whatever reason. Let's be a people who stand. If you want to end up standing, why don't you stand where you are? Come on, let's be a people who say, brethren, sistren, you know, men and women of God, let's church be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Father, we choose to be a people who are strong in the Lord and the power of your might. We recognize that it's your might. We recognize that in our own strength we can do nothing. But your word says that in Christ we can do all things. And Father, as we looked at this chapter, this book of Ephesians, this letter that Paul wrote to the church to encourage them in who they were and whose they were. But as they were living out their life, they were living out a life of spiritual battle. Father, we just as those, we too, in the day in which we live, recognize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this dark age. Forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Father, I pray that we be a people, Life Church be a church that is known as a place and a people who stand. Because they position themselves to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Father, we thank you. And in that we recognize there's a way in which we have to live. There are choices which we make which keep us battle ready. For a victory which you've won. So we're winners. And Father, I declare standing over this whole church. In the situations that we face, we choose to gird our waist with truth. We put on that breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take the shield of faith, with which we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We take the helmet of salvation to protect our minds, our thinking. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Father, we choose to take these and we choose to live in them. In Jesus' name. And we declare that we will stand. That we will stand. And having done all, we will still stand. We will stand. The promise of God are yes and in Him are amen. And so we will stand. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we stand. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for every person. If you're here this morning, you say, I don't want anybody to be embarrassed, but if you're here this morning, you're in a situation, you've got a situation going on, and you recognize through something I said, something you heard this morning, that it's spiritual. The devil wants to destroy. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes, or the thief as it comes, the thief has a purpose to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. And have it in all its abundance. So the enemy's come to steal, kill, destroy. If you're in a situation, if you've got a situation going on, it's not a God. He's trying to steal you of your joy, he's trying to steal you of your freedom, and steal you of your health. Steal something in the area of relationship. You need to know that the victory is won at the cross. You got something going on. There's one of those areas maybe you need to do something in your life. Helmet of salvation, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness. You don't want to be a casualty, someone not standing. Too many of us. You don't want to be a casualty of someone not standing. But every head bowed, every eye closed, don't want to embarrass anybody at all. But if you say that is you, you say, well, that could be me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You see that could be me. Nobody looking around, nobody moving around, just for a moment. You say, that could be me. Can you just raise a hand? Be honest. Come on. That could be me, yes. Anybody else? That could be me, yes. Come on. Anybody else? 1, 2, 3, 4. Anybody else? I'm not going to pull you out, identify you, or anything like that. You can put your hand down once I've seen your hand. I've got Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, through what you've done on the cross, the battle to which you won, Lord, I declare victory. Lord, I declare victory. I declare victory. And you will stand. Amen. And you will stand. the fiery darts have been coming at you with the shield of faith, you will stand. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you will stand. In Jesus' name, you will stand. Come on, those of you that weren't prepared to put your hands up too, you will stand. You will stand. In Jesus' name. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who says, I'm not really in a good place.